I would start on Samach Zayin Amud Aleph from Gufa. Gufa. Amar Shmuel Merabi, Halacha ki Rabbi Yossi. The halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, the Amar. Milei lo mimsran l'shliach, that you're unable to, through agency, pass on instructions. I mean, that's the, he passed like Rabbi Yossi. We saw this in Shmuel. Shmuel himself, we saw him like differentiate within the position of Rabbi Yossi, but nevertheless, he passed like Rabbi Yossi. So I love Reb Shimon b'Rebbe, Yachash Rabbi Meir, but Chanina Ish Ono Chokin of Rabbi Yossi. Right, since we have both Rabbi Meir and right Chanina Ish Ono, who brought up the Memra from Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah, both of them are cholik on the position of Rabbi Yossi. Then Ma'ara of Rebbe, Lomar Alacha to Rabbi Yossi. So why did Rebbe pass the Alachas like Rabbi Yossi in this instance? Samalei, Armalo, Shtok Bini, Shtok, says, be silent, my son, be silent. Lo ra'itet Rabbi Yossi. You never saw Rabbi Yossi. Imale ra'ito, nimok v'imo. You knew, if you knew Rabbi Yossi, you'd know the halacha goes like him. In that, since he is so careful about giving reasons behind his positions, and careful about his positions, how he expresses them, and how clear they are, Halacha is always like them. Titania. We have a Braisa, it's very interesting. Braisa, Isi ben Yehuda, Yamon, Shivchan Shel Chachamim. Isi ben Yehuda used to enumerate the Shvachot, the praises of the Chachamim. Rabbi Meir was a Chacham and a Sofer. And we saw that in Sota, that Rabbi Meir was a Sofer. He says, when someone asks him, what's your profession? He says, Lav Larani, then I'm a Sofer. Rabbi Yehuda, this is interesting what the Girsa is. Our Girsa reads, Rabbi Yehuda, Chacham l'kishi yirtzeh. He's a Chacham when he wants to be. Now what does that mean exactly? It's difficult because here he's being, this price is being Mona Shivchan, right? It's enumerating their praises. So the alternative gears that the Aruch brings down, right, is that whenever he opens his mouth, he's Rosh Medabrim. He's the one, he's the first one to speak, or he's the head of the crew when he does speak. Not that he speaks all the time, but he's the head of the crew when he does speak. And that would be a much more positive expression of Chacham Shiyotzeh. Rashi interprets it, because Yerotzeh Liot Matum. When he was ready to be settled, Mityashiv Dvarav, and he cleared up, he did things with patience, Hayech Chacham. Is a Chacham Tosos offers other interpretations is that when he wanted to be, he was a Chacham Yoter than Rabbi Meir, and maybe he says that Rabbi Meir was a very, very strong, very fast and sharp thinker, and Rabbi Yehuda was a more, patient and deliberate thinker, and that's why he says Kishi Yirtzeh, not as a negative term, but rather as a differentiation from Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Tarfon is Galushel Egozim. Rabbi Tarfon is like a pile of nuts. So the pile of nuts, the idea or the expression is that just when you pull one egos out, the whole pile moves. So too, anybody who comes to ask Rabbi Tarfon a question, he can give you proofs from everywhere in the Torah, that he can touch every part of the Torah. Rabbi Shmuel is Chanut. All right, so here you have Chanut either Miuzenet, right? Possibilities are from the word Lashon Mazon. And that means he was always ready. I mean, that's what Rashi says. He ain't no mukhan batamid. His wine was always ready to be sold. He didn't have to go look anywhere. He had everything at the tip of his tongue. Right, the other possibility is that it's mizuyanet, that he was armed. I mean, that he was always ready to do battle in Torah, that he was... Can both of them mean that he had everything at the tip of his tongue? Rabbi Akiva, Otzer Blum. This is interesting. There's two girsos. One girsos is with a mem at the end, like Rashi has, Otzer Blum, or the other one is an Otzer Blus. Right? Balum and Balus, which would be, they both seem to mean the exact same thing. You look in Rashi, we won't read the Rashi inside, but Rashi says that Rabbi Akiva, when he learned, he would learn things in different places. He would learn a pasuk here and a gadata here, and he'd learn a Mishnah here. But Rabbi Akiva, after he learned everything in a not misudar way, went ahead and was able to be misadar everything, meaning that he was able to misadar all the mikraot, all the mishnayot, sifra, the sifri, and that he created everything in its own otzer, everything in its own storehouse. So despite the fact that he received, or the reception of his misorah was not necessarily organized, he was able to organize Torah in such a manner that he was able to, present it in a way that he could say, this is the sifri, this is the sifra, and not have it be a big mess. Now Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is a kupat haruchlim, and he's a spice seller, but this is the traveling spice seller. So traveling spice seller is that Rashi says this is not as great as Rabbi Akiva's Shabbat, right? Because the way Rabbi Akiva got it was that he got it as a mess or as a not incomprehensible, but not a necessarily decompartmentalized Torah, and then he did that. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri already got it in that manner, but he rather had it always available, all the different spices. He met everything available. Blaz ben Azari is Kupa Shel Bsamim. So Kupa Shel Bsamim, again, is another step down, because Kupat Rochlim is someone who travels, but has stuff, you know, always available, because he's a traveling salesman. Whereas a Kupat Bsamim is that someone who has at home, like their home spice counter. So they have lots of spices, but not as plentiful or as, you know, many as a Kupat Rochlim. Mishnat Rebbe Lezer ben Yaakov Kavvinaki. So that's important. That Kavvinaki, we see this in other places, that since it was Kav, it's, you know, bountiful, and Naki and clear means that he did not learn as much of his friends, and that he was not as knowledgeable as the other Tanaim. But whatever he learned from the base Medrash Rashi says Nakihu, that it's clear because Balokha is like him. Kav Vinaki, the Marsha brings down Kav, that there are 102 places, I think, that, Rabbi Elazar, either the Lach is like him, or that he's mentioned in the Mishnah, and that's a play on the word Kav over here, Kav Vinaki. And the one we're after, obviously, is Rabbi Yossi Nimoko Imo. Right, Rabbi Yossi here, Nimoko Imo, means that he always gave depth and reasoning behind his statements, and therefore when Rabbi Yossi says something, we generally hold like Rabbi Yossi because of that. So you see, it's interesting, both Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and Rabbi Yossi were not necessarily as knowledgeable as their counterparts, but because of their plumbing of the depths of whatever they said and their explanations of what they said, the halacha goes like them in those areas where they had shlita. Rabbi Shimon, right, so he used to grind a lot, he used to mill a lot, and take out a little. So Tana, what does that mean? Mish Meshacheach Kima, that he forgot very little. Meaning that he brought in a lot, he forgot very little. Umash Motzi, Eina Motzi Eli Subim. And that which he forgot was all the bad stuff, meaning stuff that wasn't right. So he held on to everything, and that which he was let go was the stuff that he wasn't supposed to hold on to anymore. Chenamar Rabbi Shimon the Talmidav. So Rabbi Shimon, when he's speaking to his Talmidim, said, Banai, Shanu Midotai, be like me. Shemidotai, Trumot, Mitrumot, Midotav Shal Rabbi Akiva. I basically distilled for you everything that Rabbi Akiva said, and I got it down to the finest of the fine. Right? Truma Mitrumotav. Right? Truma Mitrumotav is a Truma of a Truma, meaning that it's something that's been sifted or something that's been brought down to finer points. The Marsham mentions also about Trumot Mitrumotav is that, like Trumot Maaser. Like, just like Trumot Maaser is, after the Maaser is taken, you take off the Trumot Maaser. So it's, you know, it's a derivative of a derivative. But so you've come down to a finer understanding or the key points that Rabbi Akiva wanted to say. Right, Gufa. So now back to our Gemara. That Bryce was just a sidebar to prove to us that why Rabbi Paskin like Rabbi Yossi, despite the fact that there was others that disagree, or multiple others that disagreed with Rabbi Yossi. So now the Gemara is back to our sugya. Gufa Amar L'Shnayim, he tells two people, Amru L'Sofer V'Yichtot, tell the Sofer, and then he should write, Ulefoni Ploni V'Yichtimil, and tell these two other people that they should sign on the get for me. So Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Kasher, if he instructs to have a get written and signed in this manner, it's a kasher get. The Lotav says those be Israel, but don't do this. Right? I mean, if you did it with the Eved, it works, but don't do this, and we'll see in a second why. So Amar Lei Ulo, the Rav Nachman, Amar Lei Ulo, Rav Nachman, the Ulo, Me'achar to kasher, Amar Lei Ulo says those be Israel. I mean, if it's a kasher get, why not? Why isn't it a valid get? Why not make such gets? Why can't people empower agents to go and ask the sofer to write the get, and empower people to sign on their get? We're afraid that she might hire edim. I mean, the problem is, if we allow such a get where the Baal instructs someone to go to the sofer, and the Baal instructs edim to sign on it, then a woman could basically, if she wanted to get divorced, facilitate a similar situation. She can send a shliach, right, she can send a shliach to basically say to the sofer, write a get, claiming that the Baal was saying this, and then sends this shliach to the agent saying, sign on this get, and both the shliach in this instance will say that he was given his agency from the husband, not from the woman. So the woman can create a situation where she can have a get, quote unquote, falsified get over here.
So what's the problem here? So they want the Baal only to write,
we don't want agency. We don't want you creating agency to create another agent, means sub-agents.
You can tell
the agent to sign on it, you can tell the sofer to write it, that's right. But you can't tell someone to tell the sofer to write it, you can't tell someone to tell someone to sign on it.
Is he saying you can't tell the sofer to simultaneously, or what you can do is you can either tell one or the other?
No, it's not about simultaneous, it's about how many agencies there. Direct instructions from the Baal versus dependent agent. It's not necessarily, we'll see in a second what maybe there's a difference.
It's like the same case that we said before, but they're using a different reason here. Before it was because we were...
We said the Gemara brought this machlokas down. That's what the Gemara brought down, this machlokas. Gemara brought, we said we'll see this later, but the Gemara yesterday brought down, according to the Mandamar says it's kosher below tassazot, that makes sense. According to the one says kosher mid tassazot, that doesn't make sense. So this Gemara is actually gufa, that's what the Gemara is going back. It's going back and dealing with what we dealt with yesterday. What's the issue here?
And this the executive here earlier, everyone that's supposed to be allowed has to be informed of each other's presence.
Right. Again, the Gemara is in a second going to go into that sugya, like you're mentioning. Kulchem. Right. That's the end of this. The end of the Gemara today is Kulchem. The point here is that we're afraid that if the Baal can create agency to do these items, a woman can do the same thing and create a fictitious agency, and then we're going to create a get that's really not a get. So the Gemara says, do we really worry about these things? We don't worry that Edom who signed on a get, or Edom who signed on a document of sale, that they don't, or they're lying, or that they're not related. And if we can verify their signatures, we don't assume that the woman hired these agents to come and sign on this. If you worry the fact that she can create an agent to go ahead and tell others to act on her behalf, why don't we worry that she just went to the agent directly and said, go sign on the get? So we see that we're not cautious for that. So this is what you can differentiate. Why is that? Maselo abe dibure ka'amre. See, the difference is, when she goes directly to the Edom actually now know that it's an untruth that they're signing to, and they will not act. They will not take an action, right, that is clearly to them not true. In our instance, the shliach is empowering them. They have no idea that whatever the shliach is telling them to do is wrong. That when they go sign on the get, they think they're doing the right thing. They think the Baal empowered them to go sign on the get. So dibura, when it comes to simply speaking, or again, the shliach here who's lying, he knows that the woman's lying. When it comes to simply giving instructions, someone's more willing to do that because, again, they don't put their name down on this. They don't put their signature on the line. So there's a difference between a mice and action where we are not supposed to say that people will lie versus simply someone has to give instructions or told to do something.
If a woman comes to an agent and says, I want you to write a get and pretend that it was at my husband's church and witness it, they'll say, no, they're not going to do that. If a woman comes to an agent and says, I want you to instruct other people that my husband instructed you to have them writing it and sign it.
Right, they'd be wanting to do that.
One step removed, the word that they may do it. To do it to the action, themselves, we have them.
That's correct. That's correct. So now the other case, which is now, Amar Lishnayim, this is the case. What happens if the husband himself says to do? Amar Lishnayim, Omru Lusofer Biyakto, Batem Katomos. This is a little bit of what you're asking, Tzvi. If you separate out the issues between the sofer and the agent issue, what happens if he instructs these two people to hire, get a sofer to write it? And number two is that they should sign it themselves. All right, so now you separated out the issue of sofer, right, decoupled those issues. So now what's the case here? So if this time our kasher, Rav Chisda says that is a kosher get, but again, Lotasa, we shouldn't do it. Rabbi Barchana, our kasher, this is a great, this is a fine get, and go ahead and do it. So now why? Rav Nachman, our kasher, Lotasa. Right? Again, I'll explain in a second. We have all these pairs. Rav Nachman says it's kosher and don't do it. Shesh is a mar kosher v'taseh. It's good and you can do it. Rav Abba mar kosher v'lo taseh. Rav Yossi mar kosher v'taseh. Rav Yossi says it's good and you can kosher and you can do it. And there's some that flip the position of Rav Abba and Rav Yossi. So what's the decision here? It's clear here that we don't have the chash that we had above that the Edom might lie. Because the Edom themselves are signing. The people she instructs are signing to get here. So we don't have that chash. So truthfully, everybody should agree it's kosher. And it should be kosher. So what's the position here of Rav Chisda who says, and the other right others that say over here that lo taseh, and that is it's a gzera atuha, meaning that it looks too similar to the case hearing the empowered agents to tell us over to write. It's only one step removed from him empowering them also to tell other agents to sign on it. So here it's not the problem is not with this case itself, but rather that it's so similar to the case where we have a problem, and that's where he empowers his agent to ask both the sofer and the agent to sign. Over here he told the agent directly to sign, so it's not a problem. But because of the similarity in the cases, it's zeruha atuha. Right, so that's the end of this sugya. Now to the sugya that Shaul was mentioning before, the sugya of kuchen. So he says, Amar la asara ketvu get, right through me, I get. Amar la asara ketvu get utnu li ishti, right, he says, write a get, and give it to my wife. Echad kotev yidei kulam, first of all, one writes on behalf of the others, obviously because they can't all write it, right, that's obviously the case. Kuchen ketuvu, now if he says, all of you write it, then he means echad kotev b'mamad kulam. One writes it, but they all must be present when he writes it. And obviously, again, they all can't write it together, but what does it mean, kulchem, that you should all write it? It means that you should all be present when it's written by one of you. Haliku get lishti. These trust him, take this get to my wife. Right? Echa molifei de kulam. One of them, out of the number of people that are saying there, can go ahead and take the get. Kulchem olifu, if he says, all of you take the get to my wife, echa molifu amad kulam. I mean, one of them actually takes the physical get, but the others have to be present when he takes the get. Not that they all have to hold the get. Imagine all 10 of them walking down the street holding the get together. That's not what he means. He means that one carries the get, but they all accompany him. So that's what he means, kulchem. What happens when he's instructing these people or the agents, these people, he says, you know, such and such and such should get my get. So he enumerates a number of them. He says, you know, this person, this person. He says, 1, 2, 3, and 4 should get my get. So Rabun Amar Mano Mana Eino Kukuchem. When he enumerates them, it's not the Kukuchem that's saying all of you. If he counts them, right, it's equivalent to saying all of you. The fact that he enumerated each person, or because he counted them, that makes it equivalent to saying kuchem. Amar Rabbi, people don't plead it, they don't argue. That is a question about whether he enumerated all of them, or he counted all of them, or he counted a subset of them. The Ami lo l'hai gisa, v'ami lo l'hai gisa. When a puppy says lo piggy and it goes either way, he says you could say either one of those two conditions could be better or worse. In that if you could argue that when he counts all of them, it's clear that what? He wants all of them to be present because he enumerated each person that he wanted to be there. He didn't say kuchen, because name by name and name, he means that he wants all of them. So the fact that he enumerated all of them means that all of you must be there, but when he only enumerates part of them, means that he was just trying to get to a number, he wanted to do something. He wasn't saying all of you have to be, because he didn't mention the other five people that were there, or he didn't mention them by name, or he didn't count them specifically. That means that he wasn't mocking on it. That's one way you can say the differentiation. Or the high gisa. What's the high gisa? That when he enumerates all of them, that's just saying, look, any one of these guys is good for me. But if he says that there are 10 guys there, and then he enumerates 5 out of those 10, that means that he specifies that these 5 must be there. The other 5, you know, if they want to be, can be. So again, that's what it means by high gisa, the high gisa. Which one of them is more, right, specific, more like kuchem, you could learn. There's logic to say that either way, one of them could be more kuchem than the other. Yeah, well, that's for puppy. Yeah, that's for puppy's position that they don't argue. And then the Gemara says, when he says they don't argue, we're not sure what that means, they don't argue. I mean, which way is the more, right, which way does it work? That means that they believe this way, both believe this way, and they both believe the other way. So now, Itkin Rav Yehuda B'Gita. Yehuda made a takana in Gittin that whenever someone, this is according to Rashi, this is the way the Sufi is going, according to Rashi, if you say between two people, that there are a large number of people there, among two people amongst 10 people, you say, go ahead and write a get to my wife, or give it to my wife, this is what you write in the get. He says, I mean, B'Gita, the Kuchem Tuvu, when if he says, oh, you write it, oh, Kuchom, oh, Kuchachad Minchom. Right, that if he does this, instructs two people in the, amongst the number of people, then he writes in the get either all of you or any one of you. Chatomu, or if he instructs them to sign it, o kuchon, o kol trei minchon. All of you or any two of you. Ovilu, you should be a shlichim halakha, then they should write o kuchon, o kol charkan minchon. All of you or any one of you. The reason to do this is that later on the get may be nitsal because people said, look, there were 10 people there when he made the instruction. Only 2 of them are signed in the get. It's not a kosher get because he said kuchen. So in order to avoid that problem of saying that he said kuchen, in the get itself they write both, they wrote the son of kuchon, o kol charkan minchon. They make it clear that if any one of you signed there, if any one of you did this, it would have been kosher, so nobody can come to question it.
Why do you have to say kuchon?
Oh, so right, that's the question. What do you have to say that for? And that's Rava's question. Amar Rava, exactly Rava's question. Amar Rava is in the guy's lady dubure. Sometimes the guy's going to cut it short. He's only going to write the kuchon part of it, and he's not going to write the second half of the old kochad kadmin kon. Amar kuchon, v'lomar kochad min kon. It's like almost extraneous lashon, like you're saying, see? So therefore, he says, after the sule, and then come to make it pasul. Amar Rava says, this is the takana. K'tovu kochad min kon, chatomu kochad min kon, and ovilu kochad min kon. Again, exactly what you're suggesting, see, that it should be, right, that it should be just simply the lashon that makes it mutar. Right, so it makes on the, like you asked me, what is the main point of putting in kuchon? The answer is, right, maybe not. You don't need it at all. That's what Rav is saying, that it's even worse. It's actually detracts from it here, because by saying it, you have a possibility that someone will make a mistake and only put that in, and it'll create a problem. That's the way Rashi says. The Ron, on the other hand, here learns that the question here is not about if someone did this, you know, what do you write in the get? But rather, if a husband wants to give instructions, that these are the two ways to give instructions. If you want to have a kuchen, if you have to say kuchon, and that's what you write in the get. If you give instructions at any one of you, you write in the get, kochad kan min kon. These are the shonos that you write into the get. Right? These are the shonos you should write into the get in order to have it be a get, whether if you want it to be kuchen, write kuchon. If you want it to be, right, any one of you, write kochad kan min kon, which now makes more sense according to why the review the message. But now, the second problem is then, what did Rav mean when he said, don't write kuchon, don't make this mistake? So that's what Rav in the end says, don't use the lashon of, don't do this, meaning basically don't write this kuchon, or don't get involved in these issues of kuchon, and make sure that you write kochad min kon, or kochad min kon, stay far away from this kuchon issue, because it creates problems. And that's what Rav in the end, according to the Ran, is stay away from this whole parsha, because you're going to get yourself to a problem where they may come and possibly get later on. Alright, now next Mishnah, new parak, next Mishnah. Now it gets us involved in some interesting Gemaras here. Well, maybe we'll go today or tomorrow. I'll mention some of this stuff.
There,
Well, according to Rashi, that means that since he didn't say kufan, we put in this lashon to make it clear that this get is a good get because it didn't need kufan. Right? According to the Ran, this has nothing to do with that sugi. If you don't say kufan, there's nothing to talk about, right? It's just a question of how, if you want, a Baal wants to instruct somebody, how do you do it? Right? This is the way that you do it. That if a person wants to say something to Mamad Rabim, right, he shouldn't say kitzvu or liku bilvad. He shouldn't just say, give instructions in the plural, kitzvu or liku. He should specify what he wants. Does he want kuchon? Or does he want kuchan kuchan? That's the way Rabim says it. Right. Well, the din is no, unless he says kuchan, that's our mission. Right? He has to say kuchan. If it's to avoid the shash later on, then people will come back and question the ability of the get, because they'll say, oh, maybe he said kuchan, maybe he didn't. Say the specific thing that you want. Either say kuchon or say kuchan kuchan. Don't just use the plural shibuya, kachbu, kachmu. And even though, again, the law is clear, when you write kachbu, kachmu, it doesn't mean all, it means, right, any one of you can do it. But nevertheless, the problem is that there were all these people here, and then someone's going to come back to the night and say, look, there were 10 people there when he gave the instructions, how come only one of you or two of you are signed on it? And that's the problem. You have a shash later on. Not a shash, what to do right away, but what is clear. Problem that later on, people might come back and question the validity of the get. Okay? So we have the new parak. New parak is interesting. It's going to, again, bring us into some interesting gemaras over here. Try to give, maybe there's a little sugi here with the Rabbi Ben Rabbah. We'll try to maybe do it today or tomorrow and do with the medical issues in the gemara. Alright, so now, here the mission starts. Misha achzo kordikus. Someone asked for daikus. Kordikus is, Rashi says it's a sham of a shade, of some shade. A shaletik, you should show to yayin har baby dough, that's what Mar's going to say in a second. And you drink a lot of wine directly from the vat. At the pressing gap, and you get but it's some sort of sickness that leads the person to not be of sound mind, necessarily. Right, let's just call it that one. Vamar Kitbuk get the sheet, and then he instructs him to write again to his wife. Vamar Kulum, we don't listen to him because he's not of sound mind. Vamar Kitbuk get the sheet, he says, write again to him for my wife, Vakso Kordakis, and then after he gets this sickness, right? But Chazar Amar looked into the venom. He retracts his statement. And the Rabbah Kornei, boom, his second statement is meaningless again because he's not a sound mind when he makes it. Nishtate, right? Then afterwards, this is nothing to do with the Kordaikus case, but say that he gave instructions in Nishtate that he's unable to express himself. He's now lost his ability to speak. Right? He becomes a mute for some reason. And they say to him, do you want us to write a get to your wife? The Hirkin Rosho, and he shakes his head up and down, and he says yes. So then, how do we know that yes is really a yes? How do we know it's again of sound mind? There's no way to test it in a sound mind if he can't speak anymore. So here's the test. Both of them told Shlusha Pyamin. We ask him three different questions. Imamar Lab Lab Alahene, and when he shakes his head, he makes sense. I mean, that he answers no to no, he shakes it back and forth, and up and down when he wants to say yes. We see that he's clearly communicating through the movement of his head, then hurry up to move it to no. And that's sufficient to find him of a sound mind, and therefore we can listen. When he shakes his head, that means yes. And we know that it means yes, not simply that he always is shaking his head up and down, or says yes to everything that's there. Again, just a way to test whether he is of sound mind. Now, my Kurdikus, what is this for daikus? So Amishmo, the Nakhle Kamu Kavatog, right, it's to be, went down and he has new wine, the Macharta, right, that is right out of the, right out of the press, out of the press, or out of either that or after Shavuot, after the time of the press of wine. So why not just write that? Why do you write in court of Kaikus? Why don't you just write someone who was bitten by the new wine, whatever this means, right? He was sickened by this new wine, whatever this sickness is. Hakamashman, Taharukha, for the Kaikus, Shma. That's exactly what we want to know. We want to know that this sickness, you know what it's called? The shade or this bad spirit that comes out of this sickness is called Kordaikus. So it might not come, you know, who cares what it's called, right?
If it's the origin, not the only origin, is we refer to as spirits.
Oh, right. Very good. So he says, what do we need to know the name of Kordaikus? The Kmiya, to write an amulet. If you want to write an amulet to cure it, you have to know what the name is that you're chasing away. So Maya Sute, how do you heal it? This brings us into interesting. So it says, Bishra Sumka, so you need meat that is not fat, lean meat, agumre on coals, vechamra marco, and wine that is very diluted. Amra Abai, Amrali Aim, the Shimshas, these are more now, we're going to go into a bunch of medical things that the Gemara is going to give you. Amrali Shimsha, for getting too hot, it sounds like some sort of heat stroke, Bat Yoma, for one day, Kuzad Demaya, and just have a bunch of water, right? Drink a bunch of water. Bat Rey Yomi, if it's 2 days old in the heat stroke, then Sigure. Then you need to get, have some bloodletting done, right? Bat Tlata Yomi, if it's 3 days old, Vistra Sumka Agumre, and then you do the meat, this lean meat, on coals with Hamra Marko, and this diluted wine. So I guess that's why it's brought down here, it's the same medicinal solution that they gave above for the Kordaikus. The Shimsha Tinka, if you have this elongated heat stroke, Lethe Tarnakalata, you bring a hen, Uchmate is black, for the Kara Shatim Erev, tear it, its length and its width, Vilagalkin, the Mitziata Dereshe, and then shave off the middle of the head of the person who's sick, Velotveyale, and you put this chicken on that shaved part of his head, right, Vinanakayaleya de Mistra, and you leave it there until it begins to smell. Right? Now, of course, I mean, wouldn't you get better if you had to have that thing on your head until it got rotted? Right.
I would probably forget about the article.
Right, exactly. The lint coat, then afterwards it should go down, likumba mayat sabre, stand in water up to his neck, ad kali shalma, until he feels faint. Right, I guess on this. The limot, then he should float. The sali, come out, and lay there, and sit out on the side. Vilot, that doesn't work. Leko karte, you should eat leeks. Right, the lint coat, and then go down into the water. Stand in the water into his neck. Until again he feels faint. The limot, then float. The sali, and then come up and go and sit down. So, again, these are the solutions. The shimsha. Right, so now, the Gemara says, for Shimsha, Bistra Sumka, right, this lean meat, Agumrei, Bakamra Marko, and again, another independent statement, and diluted wine. So here it's just in contrast to the other thing. So for heat stroke, you do this. Latalga, which is the chills, right, snow, Shelek, from where Shelek, from the chills, Bistra Shmena, fat meat, Agumrei, and calls Bakamra Kayo, and undiluted wine, but underdiluted wine. So that's a contrast, that's why he brought it down. It's not that we just said before, what we do heat stroke, which is bringing it again as a contrast to the chills. Rav Chasita got me tzarin lei bei reish galuta. Rav Avram Chasita, who was a chassid, and the servants of the reish galuta didn't like him because he was a machmir, so they used to torture him a little bit. So they have a megana lei atalga, they used to make him sleep in the snow, and so he got the chills. The machmir lei, my nickle, what do you want? After he slept in the snow, they wanted to be, they pretended to be nice to him, and they said, what do you want, you know, for you? So the mark, the light delay, what should we bring for you? Whatever I tell them, they're going to do the opposite. So I'm going to go, Bishra Sunka, bring me lean meat, right, agumrei, and calls the Chama Marka, and diluted wine, heavily diluted wine. So I delay, into Bishra Shmena, they run a fat meat, which is what we said above, the solution for chills was fat meat, agumrei, the Chama Kayo, and under diluted wine, so he got what he needed. Shama Yalto. So Yalto heard about this whole situation with Rav Amram Chasid. So she was the wife. Yalta is the wife of Rav Nachman, and she's the daughter of the Nasi. She was the daughter of Nasi, and the wife of the Abbeinu. So she was a very chassid woman, and we know that, right, that Rav Nachman was the katan of the Beis Nasi. He was the son-in-law of the Beis Nasi. That's Yalta, his wife, was the daughter of the Nasi. Mila led the Beis Masuta. She took him into the bathhouse. Umuki led the Maya the Beis Masuta. She stood, put him in the water of the bathhouse. Admakhe Maya the Beis Masuta. Babu the Mam. Until he sweated. It was a hot water. Until the sweat, the perspiration in the water, came out and left it red. Left it like this color of his blood. The Kai. Bisrei pshitei pshitei, and his his skin became either Rashi says barut or below, it was circles, some splotches or patches on his skin. So that's how she got to get it better. Right now, Rabbi Yosef, when he had the chills, yasek perechayah, he used to work the mill, to build up a sweat. Rabbi Sheshes, yasek kshure, he used to lift up and down heavy boards. Now both Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Sheshes, the marshal points out, were blind, so they couldn't do things like chopping wood and other things like that because it was too dangerous. So they did simple machot that were high exertion, like moving the mill around or lifting up boards that were there just up and down, because that was something they could do that gave exertion to give them break a sweat, make a sweat, and heat themselves up. Amar Gdola Malacha Shemachamemet Abalach, greatest work that it heats up or it warms its owner. Right now, Amar Le Reish Galuta Le Rav Sheshes. So the Reish Galuta said to Rav Sheshes, my time will also eat Mar Gaban. So the Reish Galuta, you probably remember him, Leo, says to Rav Sheshes, why don't you eat by us? Amar Le Galo Malo Abde. He says, I don't trust the servants of the Reish Galuta, the Kashida Eger Minakai, that they're questionable about bringing Eger Minakai. Amar Le Yei Mark. No, the Nasi said, back to him, how do I know? How do you know that? Amar Le Hashem Achavina Lach. I'll show you. Amar Le Shame, he said to his servant, Zil Gnoz, go into the kitchen and bring me Andrew Chadak. They're cutting up an animal to serve, we'll steal one of the legs of the animal. I today, they brought it to him. He said to the servants now of the Reish Galuta, that is his servant, he says to the servant, no, bring out the animal you're preparing. I took five carrots. They brought out, it was only three legs, obviously, were there, and they brought it out. Amalu, he says to the servants, how about let's look for the lima? He says, listen, is this appropriate to bring out to the Nasi, only three-legged animal? What happened to this animal? Maybe it's a trade fight, it has three legs. So he says, they went ahead and cut off a leg from somewhere else and brought the fourth leg out there. So Tibu come, and they set it out in front of him. Bring the leg that you stole from them. Ozbot, Then they set it up in front of us. Now there are five legs sitting in front of them. This animal was a five-legged animal. How did you get this fourth leg if we had the fourth leg of the animal?
We think we had the same room. We had the same room before they were sitting. There was a case we said that they were hosh-ish.
Right? So he says, okay, I see the problem. What happens if you're the Mashkiach? So they'll work in front of you. Well, then you can meet with us. So I'm like, hey, certainly. So Karibu Taka, so he says, Karibu Taka Kamayu, they brought out a table to serve of Shasis. Right? The Kamei Bistro, and they brought him some meat. You have to check it out. Well, Tibu Kamei. And the servants, again, hated, they didn't like this Rav Pista. Now all of a sudden, it's going to be the Mashkiach. They haven't embarrassed them. So they brought before him either Ristana, they brought him out with him a Ristana, or a Distana the Chanko, which is a bone that chokes into small bone that gets wedged in your throat, and Kamoto, so that those that are blind wouldn't see it. I mean, Arsatius was blind, so he wouldn't see this, and he swallowed the bone, and he choked by it. Koshche, he felt the meat, and he sensed that the bone was there. The Shako Kakab Sudri, then he ahead took the whole piece of meat and wrapped it up into his cloak. Right? The Batu Afkel, after everybody ate, Amalei, the servants were a little suspicious of Shatius over here because he had this big bulge in his cloak. So they said, England passed the Kaspa. They said to the rich Galusa, we had a silver goblet with stolen. Right? So they wanted to see, how did they come? So they went around and looked and they saw this bulge and said, maybe it's in Rav Shatius's pocket. They saw that he had the meat. Put the proof of the sutra. They said all the meat was wrapped up in his cloak. Amalei, Hazimar, the Omega. So they said to look there and look, Rav Shatius doesn't eat. Right? Habayi, Elalud, Saran. He doesn't really want to eat. He just wants to cause us problems over here. First of all, he says, I ate it. Vitami be time of the fibura. I tasted the white part of it. What does that mean, white? That means that this was a leprous, this is an animal that had tzaras. Right? This was an animal that was inappropriate to be eaten. I'm like, you go around the opulent. Hey, you know, we didn't chef any leprous animal today. We didn't chef any animals with tzaras today. You know, the question is, what does that mean that they didn't do it today? But go and check in his place, the piece of meat that he had. Amar Kista, we have a Masur from Kista, Uchma b'Kiyura. If there's black where there should be white, Kiyura b'Uchma, if there's white where there should be black, b'Kuta, then it's sick, and it has Saras. Baduk, and they checked it, b'Shkuchu, and they found it. Right, so that he was right, that it did have leprosy, and that's what Eusebius originally, why did he take the whole piece of meat and put it away? Because not only because of the bone, it had just been the bone, he could have taken out the bone and eaten it. He didn't eat the whole meat because he felt that the meat was, right, inedible or unworthy of being eaten. That's why he stuck in his cloak before.
He was blind.
Right, he was blind, Eusebius, that's correct.
So this is just his
left-hand right, or that he had a sense. He had a, you know, for instance, we're going to see in a second again. Kinopik, again, when he was leaving, Karolei Gira, the dug a pit right in front of him, but Shadwali Tifta, and they put a mat on top of the pit. He says, come and rest over here, Rav Shatius. Right? Again, Rav Shatius is blind, he wants to rest on this mat, and he's going to fall into the pit.
So he acted as the original Mashiach.
What? Yeah. He was the first Mashiach, but then he didn't eat it, right? He said that. I guess. I don't know. He wanted to ensure. I don't know what exactly right.
He was blind.
Yeah, he was blind, right?
So this
is
the status of Mashiach.
Right, and it seems we'll see in a second that Rav Shatius was of a higher standard, just like Svi just mentioned over there. That's just that. Svi said that he had a fifth sense, as we'll say. So behind him, not really Rav Kista. Rav Kista gave him a little, just
an alternative.
Right. The Nakale, I'm sorry, had he had a sixth sense.
He was blind.
He was blind, so what did
he
intend?
Right.
Nakale Rav Kista. Rav Kista snorted, or said, like, I don't know, growled at him, neighed at him. Right, Nakale from behind him. Amarle, you know, Gug, he asked one of the kids that was there, Sokli Psuke, give me a pasuk. Amarle, Natale Al Yaminko, Smofa. Go to your, lean, you know, go to your right or go to your left. So Amalei, the Shemei, Micah puzzles. He says to his servant, what do you see in front of us? Amalei, Tzibita, the Shaja, I see a mat laid out. Amalei, Hadarina, take me away from it. The Vata Nenofa, after he left, Amalei, Rav Kista, Menah HaVayoda. How did you know there was a problem there? So what was his question? He snorted. He was trying to indicate to him that there was a problem. What do you mean, how did he know? But he wanted to know. He never asked the Krista what the issue was, and he still figured it out. He wants to know, how do you do this? I'm like, first you neighed or snorted at me. Vote, the pasuk of the Yinokot Sukkah. He says, number two, I asked for a pasuk from the Yinokot, and that's the rule from Torah for saying. They gave a pasuk saying, go left or right. So he knew there was a problem. Vote, the Chashidi Avde, the Lomavu. He says, guess what? I know that these Avodim of the Bay Ray Shalutza do not look out for my best interests. And when they come say to me, Rav Shashis, come take a little nap over here. You rest over here. They're not looking out for my best interests. It's clear that they are looking to cause me a problem, so I have to be suspicious. So these three things led me to believe that there was something wrong, and that's why I walked around. Again, this idea that Rav Shashis had this ability to sense out the problems or the issues, again, but that's because originally there was a chashash by these Avodim. And then he had the chashash by the meat, and now he has a chashash over here by the case of the mat and the board. Again, remind me tomorrow, we'll talk about the Rav Avraham ben Rambam, about this issue of medical or medicinal solutions that are in the Gemara.